Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving Fireball Hot Take Friday, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are efforting Chad Withrow, Outkick 360 here, as he is on the road, as they are getting set for Outkick the Tailgate from Georgia and Kentucky in Athens. I'm a little surprised, and I get that like these are probably the two best teams in the East. Little surprised that that's the SEC game of the week. I'm just saying. We also have got to get his thoughts on the Titans wide receivers kind of going rogue in discussing their injuries, although I guess you can take the Julio comments as tongue-in-cheek. But you can interpret it however you want to interpret it. I will say this. I am picking the Vols to win tomorrow. And when I saw that Tyon Evans was hurt, I got a little worried because I thought if they're going to do it, they're going to do it by running the ball. And yes, you know, they've got more than one back. And yes, Jabari Small has, you know, been the, you know, 1B. But it's like I'm picking the Vols in the last segment, Caroline, but I'm struggling with feeling confident about picking the Vols.
Yeah, I was very shocked that you picked the Vols because I don't really think that you fully believe it. Like we said yesterday, you said, you know, okay, it's wins against Missouri and South Carolina, which is true, which is why I honestly felt a little bit nervous about taking the Vols, was that what they did against Missouri and South Carolina should absolutely get this fan base excited. That offense looks very, very exciting and looks like it can be a threat. But I haven't seen them do it against anyone other than Missouri and South Carolina.
And that's the thing that I hope I'm not getting caught up in. Like, how can I tell Tennessee fans, hey, don't get caught up in it. My buddy, I told the story earlier today. My buddy texts me out of the blue. His girlfriend is a Tennessee fan. He is a Texas fan. And he texts me earlier today and was talking about how in the world could they be so excited, Tennessee fans. He said this. He goes, real talk, where is the UT confidence coming from? I said their beat down of Missouri. Like, the beat down of South Carolina didn't really mean much, did it?
It meant something to me in that the Missouri game was not just a fluke.
Both combined, I think, really is, you know, if you would have only one of the two like that, but you combine them both, I think it's a double whammy.
Exactly.
He said, that just seems so dumb. Beating up on trash teams, SMH. Now, again, the guy's a Texas fan, so if there's anybody who beats up on trash teams, it's probably Texas. I said Tennessee might win, but I think it's because Lane Kiffin is a clown. I guess I haven't brought that up yet, like that I think that Lane actually is going to hurt Ole Miss in this game. I can't get over Lane's selfish coaching in the Alabama game. Like I was never a huge Lane guy, but that was so about his ego going for it on fourth down in just stupid situations because it was like he was coaching this game thinking, okay, I know how to call the plays. I am such a great offensive coach that we can go for it on fourth and three inside our own territory. And I'm so confident in my ability to get us a first down as the coach that we're going to do this and it's going to work. And I remember thinking that like, once, like, no, like that's just dumb. And I think that this is a game where Lane is going to, you know, want to show off. Just like the Alabama game, I think there's going to be something where Lane wants to, and Lane can talk all he wants about how he doesn't care about sticking it to UT fans. I think Lane probably embraces it enough. Like, he's a Twitter troll. And so I do think that Lane is going to coach himself out of this game because that's what he does, just like he did the Alabama game. So I told my buddy that I'm going to take Tennessee because I think Lane Kiffin's a clown. He said, I think it's not going to be close. Ole Miss by 10. UT is too hyped and too confident. And then he asked me if I was going to the game, and I am not going to the game. Are we making too much? And I say, are we? Am I making too much? Because, again, I'm the one picking the Vols. Am I making too much of the fact that they beat Missouri and South Carolina when all week I've been telling people, guys, it's Missouri and South Carolina. Everybody calm down.
Well, I don't think it was the fact that the Vols beat Missouri and South Carolina. I think it was the way that they did it. I think it was the absolute smackdown of Missouri. That game was never even close. The momentum that that game had. South Carolina was the same way. They had big time numbers in that game. So it's not just a win here and there. It wasn't just, you know, Alabama squeaking by Florida by 2 points. Like, those were big time games. And I think it's the contrast of what we are so used to seeing Tennessee football be in the past 10 years and what this team looks like now. It looks like there is absolutely a light at the end of the tunnel, and this team keeps getting closer and closer. So no, it's not ridiculous. But if I'm going to put my money on it, if I'm going to bet on it, I'm going to take the team that has been that more reliable, has been that much of an offensive powerhouse for longer. But I don't think you can read too much into those games unless you're thinking that Tennessee is going to beat Alabama. Then I think that that's a little bit far-fetched. But I don't think it's crazy to think that Tennessee can win this game.
I think Tennessee's going to win. I hate this. I hate that I'm now like second guessing the one time that I picked Tennessee to win. I hate that I'm second guessing it. And I am second guessing it. But I do think Tennessee's going to win. Here's what we'll do. We'll effort chat on the other side. 615-737-1025. We'll also get to your phones as well. We'll do that. So we'll effort chat on the other side. We'll take your phone, 615-737-1025. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. Vols and Ole Miss tomorrow night. Kentucky and Georgia tomorrow afternoon. Chad Withrow will be in Athens. Outkick the tailgate tomorrow morning on the Outkick Network. He joins us now. Where are you on your way to Athens? Are you in like a part of society at this point?
I am not in society unless you consider society somewhere in a holler in North Georgia, because there was an accident south of Chattanooga, and then there obvious traffic, rush hour traffic in Atlanta that Hutton and I were trying to circumvent. So we actually went through North Carolina. We went to Cleveland, Tennessee, hiked over east, went through North Carolina, and now into North Georgia. We are currently 40 miles from Athens and coming out of the Chattahoochee Forest as we speak. So cell service has been spotty. I appreciate your patience.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm picking Tennessee to win tomorrow, and as soon as I did it, I started second-guessing myself. Am I getting too caught up in the Missouri and South Carolina wins? And I thought Lane Kiffin's selfish coaching in the Alabama game is going to bite him in the rear end tomorrow. I think Tennessee's got a real chance. I think this is a big game for Vol fans. I think it's a huge game for Josh Heupel's first year. I think they're going to win. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy at all. I mean, I think this is going to be a really good game. I'd be surprised if it wasn't. Either way. But I don't know that I'm willing to pick Tennessee in this game, and it's for this reason. You know, their defense has been good, but their defense wasn't as good against a really good quarterback in Kenny Pickett, and they're going to see a much better quarterback in Matt Corral tomorrow night. So, you know, you go into it saying, okay, the last 2 weeks, is that Tennessee's offense really, or is it something a little bit less than that? If it's something a little bit less than what we've seen the last 2 weeks, I think Tennessee loses in a shootout. Would not surprise me if they won the game. But I think Matt Corral is a difference. I don't think Tennessee's defense has seen anything like him. They're not going to see anything like him again or any other time this year except against Bryce Young in Alabama. I like Ole Miss in a close game, but I think Josh Heupel in year one so far has done pretty well, and he's got Tennessee on pace for 6 wins, which is a good year. If they beat Ole Miss or Kentucky and get to 7, I think it's a great year for Tennessee in year one.
Now, you and I both know that Josh Heupel was not the sexy choice when Tennessee made the hire, and I think Tennessee fans were kind of in wait-and-see mode. I think they like what they've seen so far. How big would a win over Lane Kiffin be for Josh Heupel building the fan base back?
It'd be huge. You know, it'd be a signature win, and it's not just because it's Lane Kiffin. It's because they're 13th in the country. You know, that's one you get in year one that you can always go back and say, oh, look, you know, we beat a top 15 opponent. And Josh Heupel can hang his hat on that. I mean, I think it's enormous. It's really, in terms of chances of winning, he's got 2 chances for a true signature win this year left, and that's against Ole Miss and Kentucky, because he's got no shot against Bama. He's got no shot against Georgia. So I think these are the last 2 opportunities, you know, to really get it done and get that signature win. But either way, I think he's got Tennessee on track to where we've seen improvement already offensively, obviously. But he's got Tennessee on track to really make something happen.
Are you a huge Lane Kiffin believer as Lane the head coach? Because I know Lane can drop a play on any defense with any quarterback, and he can score points. But I just don't think he buttons it up enough, and I thought he got embarrassed in the Alabama game. I don't know if he thought trolling Nick Saban was going to end well for him, but I felt like he coached that game too arrogantly, going for it on fourth down, thinking he could get it. I'm not a huge Lane Kiffin guy, and we were kicking around earlier today as to who the better head coach is between Lane Kiffin or Mark Stoops. And I mean, I think you got maybe an argument for it. I'm just not a huge Lane guy. How much do you think about his ability to be a head coach in this game Saturday?
I mean, it's got to be Mark Stoops, right? I mean, I don't know that that's a big debate in terms of a head coach. And I say that not to disparage Kiffin as a head coach. It's to say that I need to see it for longer than, you know, 3 or 4 years. How long was he at FAU? 2 years? 3 years? I mean, he's not stayed anywhere long enough other than being fired at USC and fired quickly with the Raiders to know how great of a head coach he is. I'd say the same about Josh Heupel. You know, Josh Heupel's a great offensive mind. He did very well at Missouri. He did well at Oklahoma before that. And he was okay in a short tenure at UCF as a head coach. But I don't know what Josh Heupel is long-term as a head coach. I know what Mark Stoops is. And he's gotten Kentucky to heights they've never been at before since Bear Bryant was the head coach of Kentucky. So, yeah, I mean, I think the verdict isn't out on Lane Kiffin as an offensive mind, an offensive coach. But I do think there is a bit of a verdict out on him as a head coach. I just need to see more of this at Ole Miss for a longer sustained period. But here's the thing, Jared. I don't think we're going to get a chance to see that because someone else is going to hire this. Might be LSU, might be someone else, but that's been Lane Kiffin's track record. People buy in, people believe in him, and I think he's going to get a better opportunity than Ole Miss very soon.
What are the chances that you think that Kentucky actually has a shot at Georgia, or what would be your bar of interesting for this game tomorrow?
Well, I say this, you know, fully admitting that I said the Jets had no chance on your show against the Titans. I say this fully admitting that on our Outkick to Tailgate show in College Station, I said that Texas A&M had no shot to come within 3 touchdowns of Alabama last week. We know what happened there. But I'll say it again. I'll tee it up one more time. Kentucky has no chance against Georgia in this game. I don't think it's particularly interesting. I think it's going to be ugly. It's going to be a defensive-type game, but it's one that is going to be won, you know, 24-6, 28-7, something like that by Georgia. I just really don't give Kentucky much of a chance because Kentucky has not been great offensively, and we know what Georgia is defensively. I just don't think Kentucky can score enough to make this thing interesting, regardless of who's playing quarterback for Georgia.
I think about this game, and I'm like, you know, the only reason that I think that Kentucky, and I don't think they have a chance, but the only thing that I think really matters in this game is if Kentucky can keep this game close, and I do believe in moral victory sometimes, if Kentucky can keep this game close, I think it may cement them as the third best team in the SEC, certainly the second best team in the East. And for Mark Stoops, those aren't the expectations. We were just talking about, you know, him or Lane Kiffin, and you said you got to go with Mark Stoops. I think you're right. And, like, I kind of know Mark Stoops, and I'm stunned at the level of sustained success he's had at Kentucky with no real quarterback play. And yet, it's hard to argue with the results that he got, especially considering how bad they were before he got there in 2014.
Well, and you can argue that they're going to finish second in the East this year, more than likely, at this point. If things play out the way they should, they can't slip up and lose to Tennessee or lose one of these games coming up. But let's say they do get, you know, run out of the building by Georgia tomorrow. It's still finishing second in the SEC to Kentucky is probably their ceiling. I mean, I don't see this team going to an SEC championship game. So if that's the case, Mark Stoops has led Kentucky to their pinnacle, which is being the second best team in the SEC East. That's a difficult accomplishment. So I give full credit to Mark Stoops. And I'm like you, I can't believe I'm saying this because I was never fully on board with Mark Stoops for, you know, those first 5 or 6 years really in Lexington. But I mean, he can name his price in Kentucky right now to stay. And he's got them as the second best team in the SEC East, which is remarkable when you think about the history of Kentucky football.
What do you make of the rest of the SEC right now? Alabama has to win out, including beat Georgia, in order to get in the playoff. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but they did. You know, they got embarrassed last week in College Station. A&M, who's already lost a couple of games, obviously best game they've played this season. Arkansas loses to Ole Miss in a great shootout. I think the SEC outside of Georgia is all over the place. How much do you think that perhaps not being in a pandemic has brought the SEC back to what we're used to watching on Saturdays?
I mean, I hate to say this, but I still think it's Georgia and Alabama. Mm-hmm. I think last week was a blip on the radar for Alabama. It was a great coaching job, especially by Mike Elko, the defensive coordinator for Texas A&M. But it's still Georgia and Alabama. That game's going to be really close when they play in the championship game, and I still think it's going to happen. And then it's everyone else. Now, Jared, the rest of the conference, when you go to that next tier, and I'm putting a Tennessee and Ole Miss in that tier together, I think it's really interesting. Auburn, Arkansas tomorrow. That's a great game. You know, that's not one that's going to be played for a college football playoff spot, but that's a really good, compelling game. LSU's got the talent to beat Florida. You know, they don't have the coaching necessarily, but they've got the talent to do it. So I think when you get into that next tier past Alabama and Georgia and you look at those 7, 8 to 10 teams in the conference, I think they're all really compelling matchups. And then you've got the bottom of the conference, which is pretty clearly Vandy, South Carolina, Missouri. I think they're probably a slight step below, and in some cases a giant step below, that middle group.
What do you think Alabama's loss does to the college football playoff picture and how you kind of see the dominoes starting to fall as we get deeper into the season?
Makes it much more likely for the Big Ten to get two teams in the college football playoff. Makes it more difficult for the SEC to eventually get two in there, but I still think that Alabama's going to be in the playoff when all is said and done. I still think the most likely scenario is two Big Ten teams and two SEC teams in that college football playoff. Now, with Iowa's win, you know, Iowa up until Nebraska game at the end of the year.
Rural Georgia got us. Let's see. You can't trust rural Georgia. Oh, it got us. We'll check back in with Chad. But I do kind of agree. Like, I don't see two SEC teams getting in the college football playoff, though. Like, that I just don't see.
Yeah. I expected two teams to get in because I did not expect Alabama to lose a regular season game. I thought Georgia and Alabama would go undefeated throughout the season, and then they would meet in the SEC championship, and then they would both get in. But at this rate, unless Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship, I could see both of them getting in.
So we'll try to reconnect with Chad because we have not got his thoughts on the Titans game this week, Monday Night Football against the Bills. But I was really wondering where he was going with Iowa. Two Big Ten teams, two SEC teams. Now, okay, so, Chad, you were talking about Iowa's win, two Big Ten teams, two SEC teams, before rural Georgia snapped us. What do you – give us kind of your thought now that Iowa did beat Penn State on Saturday.
Yeah, rural Georgia gets the best of us. So, Iowa, you know, look, they should skate into the Big Ten championship game. Iowa has a way of losing one. You absolutely expect them to win. But outside of that Nebraska game at the end of the year, they should be there in the Big Ten championship undefeated. And even if they lose to, let's say, Ohio State in that Big Ten championship, they're going to have a great shot at the playoffs. So I still think the most likely scenario is two Big Ten teams, two SEC teams. We got to wait and see on Cincinnati. They've got one really good win over Notre Dame, one pretty good win over Indiana. They're going to blow everyone else out on their schedule. Will that be enough? I don't know. But that's kind of how I see the playoff right now.
I will say this. Trevor Maddich came on our show on Tuesday and said he would make Ohio State the number two team in the country because he thinks they've got their defensive issues figured out. And while I will not go there right now, I will say this. I really, really don't want to have to take back celebrating Ohio State's demise.
Well, and Kerry Combs, you know, that was the reason, right?
They oh, I'll tell you what, that's
his play-calling responsibility, and they're good again.
That's what bothers me about Vrabel, is I don't think Vrabel can handle the coaching staff. really well. And you see the one guy that leaves here and goes somewhere else does a terrible job. And, yes, that bothered me too.
Yeah,
Chad
Winthrop, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the Mike Vrabel thing as defensive coordinator. Mike Vrabel as head coach versus Mike Vrabel defensive coordinator. And when Mike Vrabel defensive coordinator starts to interfere with Mike Vrabel the head coach, I think you could probably spend an hour on that topic alone.
We have spent many hours on that topic, as I'm sure you have as well. Coming up next with Chad, I want your thoughts on the Bills Monday night game. Speaking of Vrabel, could this be the Mike Vrabel Monday night special where they win a game that they have no business winning? We'll get his thoughts on that. Plus, what AJ and Julio had to say today, we'll get Chad's thoughts on that as well. Stillman and Company's delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, be sure to join us. We'll be live at Rock Bottom for the pregame show 5 to 7, getting you set for the Titans and the Bills. And join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and families. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Chad Withrow, Outkick 360 with us on Stillman & Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Monday Night Football, Titans and Bills. Last year they played on Tuesday Night Football. And nobody expected the Titans to win. They hadn't practiced in a week. They had COVID issues all over the roster. They turned Josh Allen over three times. They embarrassed Buffalo on national TV. The one thing about Vrabel, they play up and they play down to their opponents. So when it drives you insane when they lose to the Jets, sometimes they go out and beat Brady and Belichick with Mariota and Corey Davis. So do you think Mike Vrabel can pull the rabbit out of his hat against the number one offense in the NFL and the number one defense in the NFL in the Bills?
No, I don't see it against this Bills team. And I don't know. I think Todd Downing did a better job. I've got a real issue with Todd Downing so far, taking over from Arthur Smith. I thought he was better against Jacksonville, but I also am a little bit sympathetic to Todd Downing because it's really difficult to call plays when your offensive line can't give your quarter 2.5 seconds to throw the football. So those reasons, I mean, I think Vrabel's going to have a good game plan. You know, I think that they're going to try some different things. I fully expect, you know, a different, I'm not going to say coaching effort because I think they're trying hard, a different level of coaching creativity, let's say, from Mike Vrabel and his game. But I don't think it's enough. I think Buffalo is too good. Buffalo's the best team.
Are you disappointed by what you see so far out of AJ and Julio? Not just the injuries and the fact that they've been unavailable, but are you worried? You brought up the offensive line. Are you worried that the offense is not doing enough? Oh, we got snapped by rural Georgia again. Oh, I know that feeling. I mean, I went to college at Louisville, and so there were, like, spots. And, like, it's a straight shot on 65 North. It's a straight shot right up in there. But there are, like, spots, like, when you get towards, like, Elizabethtown and some of those smaller, you know, spots in Kentucky, you get to those spots, and it'll snap you. I'm sure Louisiana had a lot of areas like that that are kind of snappy.
Well, I didn't. Whenever I would drive home from Baton Rouge, I never went through a lot of Louisiana. It was mostly Mississippi. But there were definitely some areas. Now, whenever you get into the bayou south of New Orleans, surface was hard to come by now.
So I was asking Chad this question, which I think is kind of interesting, which is AJ and Julio are going to play on Monday night. So you got Derrick Henry, AJ Brown, Julio Jones, Anthony Firkser, who had a knee injury, although, I mean, I don't know what many people think. Anthony Firkser, I think, you know, that was just kind of like exciting hype. You know, Delanie Walker says Firkser's going to be great. Kevin Byard says Firkser's going to be great. They haven't. But I kind of wonder if, you know, like, I'm kind of depressed. I'm honestly kind of depressed about the fact that the offense, and they're 10th in the NFL, and they've got the best running back in the NFL. But I'm kind of depressed that I can't look at this Titans offense that we were and everybody was hyping up during the offseason and saying, oh, yeah, they can go toe-to-toe with the Bills, because I don't think the Titans offense can go toe-to-toe with the Bills.
I don't think so either. I mean, when you look at it, like the only advantage that the Titans have over the Bills, and I think that you could make this advantage over any most any team that they play is their rushing attack, is Derrick Henry. You have Derrick Henry and the Bills don't. And I'll go back to what I said is, you know, if I'm going to pick this game with my head, I have to pick the Bills. Because in every area except running back, the Bills have the advantage.
Oh, the Bills are, I mean, and I don't even look at like the Bills offense to the Titans offense. I look at the Bills defense.
Yeah.
To the Titans offense.
The Bills have some bad boys on defense.
I already know that the Titans offense isn't as good as the Bills offense. I also know the Titans defense isn't as good as the Bills offense. And that's.
Oh, 100%.
The only thing I can bank on. Only thing I can bank on. And I know people are going to get mad. The only thing I can bank on in this game is that I believe in my heart that every now and then Vrabel will show you a game that you are just not expecting, and they will go out there and they will dominate and you will just not believe it. Like, you will just be stunned that how could Blaine Gabbert beat the Texans? That's the only thing I've got. Maybe this is the game where you have to fake a punt for a touchdown. Or you have to fake a field goal, or you have to do something like maybe, I don't know.
You can get a little cute with it.
It kind of reminds me of the Kansas City game a couple years ago where they needed Kansas City to fumble. Rashawn Evans picked it up and ran into the end zone for a touchdown. They needed two bad field goals at the end of the game. They needed a Derrick Henry 80-yard touchdown run. And they still needed a fourth quarter comeback from Tannehill.
I thought about that game earlier today. I don't know. You said something about, I don't know. I don't see a path. How can they find a way?
And that was the clip.
That was the first thing. I was like, oh, it sounds like that Kansas City game a couple of years ago.
The one time that Floyd has ever asked Ian to dial up audio.
To cold take you on that.
Was to cold take me on saying they had no chance against the Chiefs. You know, it's pretty amazing. I have not said they have no chance against the Bills. Which would be kind of par for the course. I have not said that. And I did not, and I told you all I was scared to death of the Jets. And I only know it like, I can't imagine starting the radio show at 2 o'clock on a Friday 2 weeks ago if the GM were here saying that I was scared to death of the Jets. Because normally it's my job to be like, oh, the Jets, they stink. They NFL day, and, you know, didn't have that issue. We'll get to your phones because I see them in the text line, so we'll just hit some of your texts. And we got six-pack picks where we will make our official Titans pick for Monday Night Football. We'll do that next. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Doobie Brothers at Bridgestone Arena on October 25th? Head over to YouTube and subscribe to the 1025 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see the Doobie Brothers. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, October 18th. And please subscribe to the YouTube channel because it is Caroline Fenton's job. And if you do not subscribe to the YouTube channel, I'm not saying she's going to get fired, but I'm also not saying that she's not going to not get fired.
Well, I really like my job, so I would appreciate it if you all would just go ahead and subscribe.
And so subscribe. And if not, Stillman and Company might have to have different company. Try to think of who we could pick up off the street to come in and bring in off the practice squad.
Someone with big shoes to fill, that's for sure.
Yeah, huge shoes to fill. Huge. Anywho, go subscribe to the YouTube page and help Caroline out. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN, 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company, by the way, congratulations to Matthew Haley and Tony Ewells. Those are our two winners in the Monday Night Football ticket giveaway. So Matthew Haley and Tony Ewells will be going to see Monday Night Football on Monday night. I will be going to see Monday Night Football on Monday night. Will you be going to see Monday Night Football on Monday night?
I will be going to see Monday Night Football on Monday night.
She'll be going to see Monday Night Football on Monday night. Ian, you going to Monday Night Football on Monday night?
That's a negative.
If we found a babysitter, would you be going to Monday Night Football on Monday night?
That's an interesting question. Maybe.
Because, I mean, I don't want to invite you over the air, but if you want to go to Monday Night Football on Monday night, let me know, and you can go to Monday Night Football on Monday night, Ian.
I appreciate that. I will talk that over with the powers that be.
See,
and just to clarify, Ian, that is Monday night.
Which night?
It's on Monday. It's Monday Night Football on
okay.
Monday night.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry. The last time these two teams played was on a Tuesday night.
On Monday Night Football on a Tuesday, yes.
On a Tuesday night. And I will say this about that. I enjoyed Tuesday Night Football. I was like, you know,
It was at a weird time and everything. It was wild.
I was like, the NFL could do this. Tuesday night football wouldn't be bad. I remember, I think it was like at 6 o'clock was when the game kicked off, or like 5:30 was when the game kicked off, and Ryan was like, so are you guys going to do 30 minutes while the game's on? Or it was something like this. And I was like, no. And he's like, why? Because anybody who listens to the Stillman and Company show is watching the Titans game.
Imagine Floyd trying to do the show and watch the Titans game, or you trying to do the show and watch the Titans game. Now that would be some radio.
You know, people don't know, Floyd hated the fact that, like, if we were doing a pregame show in Cool Springs, he was totally for it because it was by his house. He hated the fact that he would miss, like, the first, like, three series of the game driving back from the pregame shows. If he would miss, like, a series or two, he hated it, which probably comes as a surprise to nobody.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Not at all. Let's take some phones before we get to six-pack picks. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
One texter texts in about the college football playoff conversation that you and Chad were having. Shane says, to be fair, I don't think Cincinnati has a true chance of being in the playoffs because Murray State hung with them until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they look at that. You know, like, they look at that. You look at that, like, on a week-to-week basis, but I don't think when you get to, like, truly sitting around the boardroom that they talk about, was it close in the fourth quarter in that third game? Now, I do think if you lose one of those games, it matters, but I just think, to me, the college football playoff, really the biggest thing is, how many losses do you have? That's the number one criteria year over year about making the college football playoff, is how many losses. Because, look, they've put in teams that haven't won their conference championship. They've put in teams that did win their conference championship and that, you know, had lost to a team that was better than them that hadn't won. Like, they've done all that. But what they've never done, they put an Alabama team in there that didn't even win the SEC West. But what they've never done is they've never put a two-loss team into the college football playoff. And so that's what matters to me. You lose two games, you're out. What's next?
Another texter texts in about the Vols and says, the only way that I will be pissed on Saturday is if the Vols come out and completely crap the bed and get beat by three scores. I'm expecting a close game, but I'm toward Ole Miss winning.
I can kind of see anything happening in this game. Like, I could see Ole Miss blowing out the Vols. I could see it. I mean, like, I told you that I'm picking Tennessee. I am not confident whatsoever in my pick of the Vols, but I am picking the Vols, which is going to be great when Tennessee wins. And I'm like, I was picking them. And the text line blows up with all these people that are like, you said you weren't even confident with that pick. How can you say how can you make that? You weren't confident. I'm telling you, I'm picking them to win.
Or if Tennessee doesn't win, I can't wait for Monday when you say, why would I have taken the Vols? That's what I get for picking the Vols. I'm never doing it again.
44-38 Vols. Let's get to six-pack picks presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Ian, how do we do last week?
Jared, with another good week.
Dang it.
Based on my schedule, or based on my records here, 5-0-1. You guys had a push last week with the Cincy Green Bay at 3.
Oh.
So 2 weeks in a row, Jared does not have a loss. 6-0 and then 5-0-1. Caroline went 2-3-1 this past week. So let's see.
I think we need to recount that. I don't think that's right.
No, you need we need a recount?
No, I'm kidding.
2-3-1. Let's see. Got the Chargers and got Tennessee. But Caroline missed the Giants, Kansas City, Baltimore.
What's our
season records?
That's all right.
Jared is now at 17-12-1, and Caroline is at 13-16-1.
Somebody's got some making up to do. Let's get to it, Ian.
I know.
Okay, not thrilled with the NFL slate this week. I'll be honest with you. I had some trouble trying to figure out our games. But we will start with a good game. Noon, CBS, Chargers at the Ravens. Over-under on this game is 51. Baltimore is -2.5. Who's first, Jared?
I'll take me, and I'm taking the Chargers. I thought the Ravens played an incredibly sloppy game on Monday night against the Colts. I think the Colts suck. It's a short week. I think Lamar's out there by himself. I think Herbert's a bad boy. I think the Chargers are good. Give me the Chargers plus the points.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chargers as well. I mean, this team has looked unstoppable. Justin Herbert, just when you think that he can't do it, he does it again. And I think I'm also going to take the over on this game. And Ravens defense is not that great, and I think that Justin Herbert is going to take advantage of that and throw for 4 or 5 touchdowns, to be honest.
Okay, so just for fun, we will stay noon, CBS. I mean, kind of an ugly game, but it is in the division.
Texans
at the Colts, over under 43.5, pretty low. But the Colts are minus 10.
Ooh. Now, this is the battle of the 1 and 4s. So this, I feel like, is going to be a very underwhelming game. 10 is a pretty big spread. I'm going to take Texans plus 10. I think it'll probably be like a touchdown, but I think the Colts win.
Caroline Fenton is on crack. Colts minus
what?
10, and it is not even going to be close.
I
Colts
said
are going to win this
plus
game.
10.
Right. I'm thinking Colts minus 10. Colts
okay,
are going to win this
you
game
go ahead
by
and do
like
that.
45 points. Give me the Colts.
Okay, Fox, 305. This should be a good game. Cardinals going to Cleveland to take on the Browns. We'll see how they do in the weather. Nick Chubb out for the Browns. Over-under on this game, 49.5. Cleveland, minus 3.5.
Give me the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals have a better football team. I think Cleveland is good in spots, but I'm going to take Kyler over Baker. I don't know why. I will take the Cardinals on the road in Cleveland. I am totally second-guessing my pick, and I want to change it right now, but I already said Cardinals. Give me the Cardinals plus 3.
Give me the Browns. I think the Browns are going to win this game, and I understand that Nick Chubb is hurt, but I think that this is going to be the game where Kareem Hunt eats, and I think that he's going to prove himself while he gets that running back one slot. So give me the Browns to give the Cardinals their first loss of the season.
Okay, back over to CBS and 325 CBS, our game of the week right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Cowboys at the Patriots. Over-under on this game, a little higher than I thought, 50.5. Dallas, also a little bit tricky, only minus 3, a little bit surprising.
Is that me? Do I go first?
Yes, you're up.
All right, I'm going to take Dallas minus 3. I thought it would have been at least a touchdown there, so I think that's pretty easy money. I think they get stuff done against the Patriots. I haven't really seen anything against the Patriots that makes me super thrilled or makes me think that they're going to be able to upset the Cowboys. So I'm going to take the Cowboys against the spread.
Upset special, Patriots. I'm going to take them. I already took them against Tampa Bay. I'm going to take them. Give me Belichick over McCarthy. I think that defense holds enough against Dak and Zeke, though I do think the Cowboys are the better team in Foxborough. Give me the Patriots.
Taking Mac over Dak?
Sure. Taking Bill over Mike McCarthy.
Okay, Sunday night football game. I wish Russell Wilson were playing. He has been ruled out. I believe Chris Carson might even be ruled out for the Seahawks as they take on at the Steelers. Sunday night football, NBC. Low over-under on this game, 42.5. But Pittsburgh, only minus 5.
I will take the the game's in Pittsburgh. I'll take the Seahawks plus 5. It'll be close at the end. I think Pittsburgh will still squeak by, but I just don't really have a lot of respect for Pittsburgh. So I think that, like, now, like, you know, Seattle's up here. Now they're down here on the level. I can't stand Geno Smith, but I'll take Seattle.
I am going to take Pittsburgh. You are so low on Geno Smith. He threw one interception when he came in for Russell Wilson, and it was 100% Tyler Lockett's fault and not his fault. So I'm going to take the Steelers, especially without Russell Wilson.
All right, that brings us to Monday's game. Monday Night Football, 7:15, ESPN. Bills at the Titans. Over-under on this game is very high, 54. Buffalo, minus 5.5.
I'm going to take Buffalo, minus 5.5. I'm not counting out that Vrabel could pull some Vrabel stuff and the Titans could play the absolute best game of the season, which they're going to have to do to beat the Bills. I'm not counting out that the Titans could absolutely upset the Bills at home, but I just think on every side of the ball, the Bills are a better team. And I think that they have a bit of a revenge tour coming into Nashville after the game last year. So I'm going to take the Bills against the spread as well.
Chris Sanders said that the Bills have circled this game. I'm not sure they've circled it. I don't think they're going to be fat and happy, though, after they beat the Chiefs. I think they're going to be fully aware that if they don't play well, they could lose to the Titans because it happened last year. Bills 33, Titans 14. I don't think this is going to be particularly close. And I think about a lot of the things that we've been complaining about with the Titans, we're going to be complaining about a lot louder on Tuesday. I hate to say it. I'll take Buffalo. That's going to do it for us. We're out of here. Moneyline coming up next. Chase and Ryan, they'll break it all down for you. Stillman and Company, we'll see you Monday at 2:00.